Our scripture reading this morning is John 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Then, if you retain the sins of any, then they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus had come. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus said many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may have come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. So concludes our reading.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. Yes, as always, your reading of the scripture engaged me in the story. Thank you. And thank you, Lance. Yes, that is the moment of worship to me this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. As I introduced you to this new worship series last Sunday, of the next maybe several weeks, we will have a series with questions that come from you, questions that are inspired by faith. That way, I am sure that you have questions that are burning inside of you, the questions that might be holding you back from growing in your faith and deepening your relationship with God. What are those questions? Please feel free to share those questions with me. This is not like time to stomp on the pastor, but share the questions with me. I will try to humbly and prayerfully and boldly present my reflections on those questions to share. If there is the biblical answer, then try to share the biblical answers and varying opinions on those questions. And I still encourage you to send me your questions, okay? So in that way, email me at pastorpeace@lodiums.org with your questions. Though I have quite good questions to cover for next 3 weeks, from last Sunday's submission of the questions, I still look for more questions. I'd like to give you more chance to share what has been in your heart. Yeah, and that way, we don't have to keep our questions as a secret any longer. The questions we embrace today is this. Okay, let's have this question on the slide. Now that I and my husbands are in our 70s, how much longer do we have to attend the services? to hear the same reading that we have heard since our childhood. And all those stories still end the same. Yes, after the first Sunday service, first service today, one of our church members says, yeah, I saw that questions in different places too. Okay, first, I appreciate the honesty of the unnamed. Okay. Second, it's quite straightforward to answer these questions. This is the main reason why I wanted to begin the new series with these questions. Though I don't want it to sound sententious, I feel I needed to speak at this point boldly, adamantly, with this question. Because first statement that I can say is this: faith is not about attending services. Faith is about attending to our relationship with God. Our relationship and heart toward God may change. And attending service is just a means. It's not a goal, right? Faith is not about accumulating more knowledge, more scientific knowledge. No, of course, having more knowledge of God is crucial, and it comes with our study of the Bible. But this knowledge is different from a kind of knowledge we obtain from an encyclopedia or a science textbook. Moreover, speaking of the command saying that all those stories still end the same, yes, preachers, including myself, must be ashamed to some extent of preaching the same message over and over, right? But I still wanted to, okay, defend myself first, because we forget. But the second, I still wanted to invite you to examine yourselves on a couple thoughts. And I'd like to share those thoughts for your examination, self-examinations. First, what's your understanding of worship? What do you know you do in worship? Needless to say, preaching is an important part in worship, but we don't come and start right away with the reading of the lesson and give a time to the preacher to speak. No. There is the basic pattern of worship. The entrance and gathering, feeling that we are gathered together and feeling the sense of community and the proclamation and response, thanksgiving, sometimes along with the Holy Communion, and then sending forth, yes, worship as a whole and as with all these components in worship together is like an organic human activity, because worship is an encounter with the living God through the risen Christ in the power of the living Holy Spirit. Even if it is right to say that teaching with the scripture passage is at center in worship, the reason for the teaching is not about having more and correct knowledge. Growing deeper in our relationship with God and participating in God's mission are the reason for the teaching. In short, yes, we should come to worship. Hey, actually, you know what is my answer to this question. You should come to the church, right? But you should come to worship not because you have to learn more of the Bible. Worship is more than a sermon. In worship, we enter God's presence and encounter God as an individual standing in front of God, and also as a community of believers with our brothers and sisters in Christ together. Yes, community. That's another good reason why we should come over and over. Community of faith fuels our relationship with God. As you might have heard me use this analogy before, it's like a hot coals in a fireplace. If you take one of the hot coals out of the fire, it quickly, cools down. But when you place it back in with the other hot coals in the fire, and it doesn't take long to blaze it hard again. In a similar way, without a community of believers, we easily lose our passion and focus. But hanging with other Christians can fuel our love of God and adjust again our focus on God. Again, going to church on Sunday is more than listening a sermon. That is boring, right? Yeah. Now, I turn to my second question for self-examination. What's your attitude toward the Word of God? Please note that I'm not asking about your attitude toward a sermon. No, I don't equate a sermon with God's Word. It's different. Then what do I mean by that question? I mean that God is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit, who spoke to the writers of the Bible, continues to speak to the heart of a preacher who humbly and sincerely comes to the Scripture for interpretation, life application, and reflection to share. And the same Holy Spirit speaks to the hearts of the listeners as their hearts are open to the Holy Spirit for the illumination of their hearts and for the transformation of their lives. So, in coming to the lesson of Scripture, our attitude shall be as if we come to the living God instead as if we come to the preacher or to the printed Scripture. No, this attitude must increase our joy and anticipation, expectation of God's Word. Again, don't come for a well-decoded exegesis from a preacher. No, come for the living Word of God speaking in and beyond the written text. So come with conviction that God is speaking. As we already have this on the slide, one more. Don't come to the reading with answers already made by you or by a prominent scholars. Instead, come with questions. Questions. Yes, it is true. Every year Christmas comes, so does Lent, so does Easter. And every year you are told that Christ was born. Every year you hear that Christ is risen. That way, do you feel those stories have the same messages over and over every year? Perhaps. It's because you don't bring your own life questions into the stories. This way, you keep yourself distant from the stories. Where am I in this story? With such a personal question, we shall come to Scripture. This year, in reflecting on the Easter story, I found two particular questions inside of me. First, what is God speaking to people like me who make themselves busy with many things to do to enjoy more fully the life that we can finally call their normal? And the second, what can I proclaim to those who come to the church sparsely, maybe only on Easter and Christmas? These are different questions than what I wrestled with last year's Easter Sunday, where an exit from the pandemic was hoped for with the availability of COVID vaccines. The Easter message may seem to be the same in the ways in which, again, I proclaim that Christ is risen, and we respond, Christ is risen indeed. However, our take is different as our life circumstances and daily struggles are different every year, if we are honest. And as we bring them into the stories, we can find different tastes, different stress in the same story. I don't say this to say that, hey, see, I'm a good pastor. No. Of course, I take seriously this honor to speak in front of you. I say about the two different Easter messages I had last year and this year in order to stress the importance of our attitude with which we come to Scripture with honesty and questions. Again, in short, come with questions. This is the sure way to keep the Word of God alive in us and keep us being able to look for what God is doing in our life. Having said all this, we may now think about Thomas from the scripture reading for today. Let me tell you, I am grateful for Thomas. You may call him with his nickname, Doubting Thomas, giving no credit to him. Hey, but I find being comforted with his story. In the Bible, he appears as the only one who named aloud his question about the news of Jesus' resurrection. Unless, he says, I see the marks of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. That's what he said. What he said here is his honesty. He didn't hide his doubt and question. He didn't pretend to have no problem with believing the news, which sounded unbelievable. More importantly, by expressing his doubt, he expressed his care about what he was told. His knowledge of Christ didn't grow further from the cross from what he saw last time. But when he was told about the resurrection, he wasn't apathy toward it. Rather, he cared about it. I see him desiring to move from where he was stuck. And good news is, not just that the risen Christ appeared to him when he was gathered with the other disciples, it is that the risen Christ turned to Thomas and invited him to touch his body, which once wounded and pierced and now healed. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. I don't think this is a rebuke. No, no, no. Rather, Jesus assures Thomas that he can now be free with a sure answer to his doubt and questions. Free to believe. Free to live by faith, which could be his experience if he didn't name his question and doubt aloud and his struggle to believe. In the following sentence, Jesus doesn't imply criticism either. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Jesus didn't have to speak this to Thomas anymore. Rather, I feel Jesus speaks this to people like us, to whom a physical touch of the resurrected body is not available anymore. Jesus tells us that he cares about where we are with our struggle to believe. When it comes to believing what is not visible to our eyes, such as God and the resurrection of the body, it is easier to take them as just a story in the Bible than to live with them, seeking the stories to come alive and tangible in our own lives. Again, here is the good news, that the risen Christ in the living Holy Spirit comes to us, to meet us, to help our unbelief and doubt and questions. So, we can say this, faith exists in a relationship. Yes, in faith, there is a things that we have to do, and God does something as well. Does our God not do anything after he imposed more faith and more faith on our shoulder? No. He speaks, I believe. He whispers. Sometimes he thunders. And he sometimes nudges and helps us to be gifted with faith. And our job is to cultivate that gift. Christian faith is never static, just as no relationship is unchanging. In this world, which is uncertain, in this life, which is already kind of complex, doubting is natural. Questioning is fair to do. And these don't prevent us from living in our trust of God, Rather, they will help boost our desire for an intimate relationship with God, more personal and deeper knowledge of God. As one of my favorite theologians in the 20th century says this, Paul Tilley says, doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It's an element of a faith. And I'd like to finish with this quote from one of my favorite Christian writers, the Brian McLaren, in his most recently published book titled Faith After Doubt. And he says this, faith before doubt, it's about correct beliefs. Faith after doubt, it's about revolutionary love. Faith that is about correct beliefs may count how many Sundays I have to go to church. But faith that is about revolutionary love, values, faithfulness in the relationship with God, and values building up the church, the body of Christ, together with others in love. So come with a doubt. Come with a question. Seek encountering with God and seek God's gift of faith, and to experience the richness of God's love and the joy of faith, come to the church on Sundays, not to listen to my sermon, right? No, come to encounter the living God. Come and open the Bible with a renewed expectation every day. Faith is more than how many times you do what you do for God. No, faith is about how we do it to reveal revolutionary love to others. Thanks be to God. Amen.